go. Another edition of We Talk Fantasy Football. I'm Mo, Twitter name, Mo_WeTalk. I'm joined by the one and only co-host here in his home, the Palacio Golden Crusted Studios of House Brett. How you doing, Brett?
Woo! Feeling good today. Ready to talk about fantasy football, let me tell you.
Okay, Brett is ready to talk about fantasy football, and his dork level is at its highest. Let's go. Brett, your Twitter name?
Brett_WeTalk. I know, it's really clever how we have these awesome Twitter names, you know, like
they're so
close together.
Email us at Mo@WeTalkPodcast and Brett@WeTalkPodcast. All right, let's go. What we're going to be doing here, last show was a draft strategy special, basically, giving you some strategies for auction drafts and the more popular snake format. And, this one, what we're going to do is just kind of go around the loop on by division and the teams and quickly highlight, not talking depth about all the players. That would take 7 days. But what we're going to do is just basically give you kind of some quick highlights of players that we are keying in on and looking at it as good value or safe picks and that type of thing. But one thing I just want to mention quickly, first off, because we didn't talk about keeper leagues. So, Brett, why don't you just quickly mention the keeper league strategies that we've been employing for a couple of our leagues this year?
Well, I think one of the key things about keeper leagues is it's not just about – it actually very much depends, because the two styles of keeper leagues is the one style which involves you just keeping anybody you want, and it doesn't take a draft pick away of compensation. You just keep those guys – and you draft everybody else as you normally would.
Which I think is a horrible, horrible way to do a keeper league, by the way. Because it takes away a lot of strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it just really seems to have... There's just no reason. Like, who cares who you take? I mean, you can take anybody. And then everybody else is stuck with the dregs. Yeah, I think it's really hard
for
somebody...
Yeah, all of a sudden, first-round draft picks are guys that are fifth-round draft picks in other leagues. Like, you know?
Yeah, and it really takes away from the concept of somebody new joining that league.
Yeah.
Because their talent is going to be significantly worse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The keeper leagues that we tend to prefer feature the strategy where nobody can be kept in the first three from the first three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose two rounds prior to where you drafted that for the player that you keep, and you can only keep them for 3 years.
Yes. So, for instance, if you drafted someone in the 10th round, you could keep them next year for an 8th round pick, and the year after that for a 6th round pick, year after that, you know, so on. So, and basically, so that puts in the strategy of the value of the pick and the long-term investment, it takes a lot of, there's a lot of trades preseason, moving up and down the draft then, lots of movement. Your two keepers get traded, and that one's a lot of fun. So that one, those are great. So one of the things we've been doing this year is we've kind of have been looking at our keepers and going, who are the teams that are the most dangerous, that have the best keepers, and almost drafting not just to strengthen our team, but to try and take away the depth that they'll need in case of injury. We're trying to be proactive in attempting to take away the strength of our opponent, because if they feel they have their better keepers than us, then they have an edge, so we need to make it up in another direction.
Yeah, I think one of the key things that we've really had to evaluate is, I don't care the value of the player, the overall, like your player's numerical value could be like, I can keep him for around 16, and he's getting drafted in round 8.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have value to your team, then there's not really a purpose to keeping him. Let somebody else draft him in round 8, especially if you don't think that he has value per se as a runner.
Yeah, there's guys that are average draft position is round 8, and I'm going, I wouldn't draft him until round 11. So I'm not going to keep him just because the average draft position says to me they're worth X amount. That's another thing as well. So
yeah, and that happens with defenses. I mean, the average draft position for the Pittsburgh Steelers may be round 8. Doesn't mean I want to keep them for that.
No, absolutely not. So so that's just a little quick hint on keepers and where we're thinking up for that. And those are a lot of fun. So those are leagues that you can search out in the future and keep in mind, if you play us, we'll beat you.
That's right. And, you know, the number one thing that I find it most fun about keepers is just the fact that when you're in the late rounds and you're doing your absolute best to try to find those key deep sleepers that will still be there, but will also have an impact for you next year.
Well, it becomes a different strategy, because when you're drafting in a regular snake format or even an auction league, and that you're getting down to the end, what you're trying to do is find somebody that, with an injury, can give you value this year. In the keeper league, what you're trying to do is find somebody with the player ahead of him retiring or injury prone or end of his contract may give you value 2-3 years down the road. So you're coming at it from a different strategy. You really got to know your stuff. But
actually,
but it's fun.
It is closer to 1 year down the road, because if you keep somebody who is 2 years down the road, then they're not going to have any value.
You would think so, but people kept Michael Turner in that situation for a couple of years because they knew eventually he was going to be something special. And so it does happen. So, I mean, you got to look at it from that perspective. So again, it's just strategy. It's a fun way to go. So let's go around the loop here, Brett, and let's start off with the AFC East. Let's start off with let's go right to the head of the class, like you say. My early preseason pick for the Super Bowl, I'm thinking here, the New England Patriots.
Oh, not the Buffalo Bills?
No, hell no. Just because they're first in the alphabetically doesn't mean we're going to them first.
All right. Well, when you talk about the New England Patriots, I think there's only one person that you talk about, period.
Yeah, there's one person that is, there's value on that team. There's a lot of players you would have. There's only one guy that you count on and build your team around.
Yep.
That's Tom Brady.
It's hard not to love Tom Brady. He's with the exception of his injury-shortened season, he's finished, you know, top five guaranteed in the last, you know.
I believe top two of the last three seasons, I think he's been the top fantasy scorer. And yeah, I mean, he's obviously great. Now, there are other players you'd want, but you have to be really, really careful not to overvalue them. You overvalue them based on either past performance, or you can overvalue them based on feeling that because they're playing for the Patriots that they're going to do great. When the truth is, playing for the Patriots really means that you're in the ultimate spread the ball offense, which is the strength of Tom Brady and the strength of the team, but doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy.
No, when it comes down to, I mean, when I look at the bulk of their running backs, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is completely overvalued, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what he's going to get. Like last year, he got a lot of carries, but that was primarily due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about Danny Woodhead, he's probably only going to get between 8 and 12 touches per game.
6 to 8, I would say.
6 to 8. So, you know, I mean,
value touches, but
yeah, absolutely. I think he's going to be a quality player. Great pickup in the later rounds in a PPR,
and a terrific player on their team, but that doesn't make him a terrific player in fantasy.
Yeah, and then you have your Stephen Ridley's, your Shane Vereen's, your Sammy Morris's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad infinitum almost. And I just don't see how you can list those guys as having much value unless they're waiver wire pickups in midseason.
So let's concentrate on the players that do have value. Obviously, we talk about the player with the most value. Wes Welker will have value, but again, you could probably get him. He might turn into a steal, but you don't want to overvalue what you can count on him for. That's all. I'm not saying overvalue so much in the draft pick, but what you can count on his production to be. You basically would try not to go too early, try not to go too late, and see how that one plays out. Chad Ochocinco, on the other hand, is somebody who, to me, I think would be a great value pick late because he does have some upside. And but you only have to go into it going, he's a low-end number three wide receiver, and he's being drafted as a low-end number two. So for me, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, he might be worth that, but I'm not taking that chance.
No, I just don't feel like and he hasn't shown enough in the preseason, I think, to justify any of those higher rankings. You know, if his average draft position currently for me is way too high for what I do consider him.
Yeah, and the same thing can be said of Hernandez, Gronkowski, Dion Branch. So actually, their defense, I do think that their defense is where they've improved their team. Gronkowski actually, as a kicker, probably does have value because he's in a high-scoring offense. So, but you don't draft a kicker to the last round anyways. So yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, if he's there, that's great, but you don't chase a kicker. And like I say, their defense is, as a team last year that were scoring a lot of fantasy points, but were giving up a lot of points in real football, but that's different from fantasy points. That's sacks, that's turnovers, special teams, all this thing. It's a different, a great fantasy defense and a great real-life defense are not the same thing. So, again, don't confuse those. But New England has worked on their defensive depth this offseason, so I do like the way they've gone in that direction. So
yeah, I think it would be interesting to see how.
But you're still drafting them second to last round in that
round. Second to last round, yeah. I just want to talk quickly about their tight ends. I think the only problem that I have with their tight ends, I think they're both really talented, and they both have two different skill sets. You know, Gronkowski is more of a red zone guy.
Yeah.
Hernandez is more of a stretch the field guy. But the number one problem is that I really believe that they're going to cancel each other out.
Yeah, and you never know which. Even then, you never know. This game, we're going to target the tight ends 15 times. The next game, we're going to target the tight ends one time because that's the New England offense. The New England offense is based on keep your opponent guessing. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Some offenses go, we do what we do well, try and stop us. New England's the offensive philosophy is different than that. It is we're going to try and catch you off guard all the time. So
yeah, I think
they have the quarterback to do it, so yeah. Why not?
Biggest thing about New England is absolutely the idea that I think, with the exception of Tom Brady, your offensive starters will lack for consistency.
Yeah. So let's go on to the Buffalo Bills because we don't want to spend much time. We spend a lot of time on that team. And the Bills, quickly highlight anybody. Just quickly talk about what catches your eye or doesn't catch your eye on the Bills.
Okay. Well, I think from the top again, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick stands a chance to be a capable bye-week fill-in that you don't draft.
Because his team is playing from behind, he should put up fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, he had some good games last year.
Yeah.
And I think that it's very possible that he has those good
games. He's a competitor.
Yeah.
He's a competitor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he's not a great player by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Fred Jackson or C.J. Spiller, the running game, it's really up in the air. I don't like it. I think Fred Jackson's going to win. I think he's got a better running style. I think he should be solid, but he scares the crap out of me.
C.J. Spiller is one of those players that may eventually someday be a good player, but often these type of players have to have the right situation. He's a Sproles or Bush type player, right? So I mean, if you get him really really late, fine. But you're not chasing him. Same with Jackson. The nice thing is you'll probably get some value. He'll probably be a consistent player, not a great player, but an RB3 that you can get at a good value position. Johnson, of course, a wide receiver. A lot of people, I think, you have to be crazy to ignore him after last season, but he does come with question marks as well. So
yeah,
that's basically it.
He has nobody across from him anymore. I mean, once they got rid of Lee Evans, I mean, the idea of Donald Jones or David Nelson or Marcus Easley or whoever the hell they throw across from him doesn't strike fear into any defense. And I don't care whose defense that is. That could be Carolina's defense, and they still feel like they can cover them.
Okay. And those are the only players in Buffalo to consider for fantasy. Let's move on to the next team.
You're not touching their defense. I think the one thing that I do say about Buffalo, just as a kind of a wrap-up, is the concept that I really worry, I think, about Chan Gailey getting fired this year if they blow, which I completely expect them to.
Well, and, I mean, he doesn't have the personnel, so it's not his fault that degree, but I mean, how can they win?
And if he does, like, he's a great offensive-minded coach, which gives Stevie Johnson and Ryan Fitzpatrick some level of value.
Yeah.
If they were to fire him mid-season and bring in a defensive-minded coach, all bets are off, and more than likely there'll be nothing to go with on this team.
Yeah, and Ralph Wilson's getting up there in age, so you have to wonder about his moves. Anyways, let's go to Miami.
Miami Dolphins.
Miami is nice. Miami is nice. So I'll say it thrice. Miami is nice. Golden Girls fans will remember that one.
Ah, brilliant.
All right. Talk about Miami. What do you got there?
Well, I mean, Chad Henne is he's actually looked pretty good in this preseason. I don't like him. I don't think he's a very talented quarterback. But I mean, who's to say that maybe this year he can't turn it around a little bit?
Well, they wanted to get rid of him. That's what makes me afraid about Henne is that the team so desperately was looking for an excuse to have anybody else be their quarterback and couldn't find anybody else, which also tells you about their backups and their situation there. So, he's somebody, again, really late, or just keep an eye on the waiver wire if he's performing well, but you don't draft at all, probably. The only guy you really count on is Brandon Marshall. And despite having, we're talking about his quarterback not being that good.
Yeah.
Brandon Marshall is a stud. You know, a douche, yeah, but a stud.
He's a total knucklehead. Like, he's got such an extremely high knucklehead factor. But the thing is that he's going to catch close to 100 balls with you throwing him the ball. I mean,
well, let's not be crazy.
Yeah, that's right. That's
pretty. No, he'd catch him. He'd just catch him for 124 yards in the season.
yeah, that's right.
but that is the thing. He's going to catch the balls. He's going to be great PPR leagues. Probably not a lot of TDs because I don't expect him to be on a strong offense. Bush was looking great early in the preseason, and now I'm not so sure about as far as running back. But he seems to have some value in PPR leagues as well. No health concerns. Devon Bess is a very safe wide receiver four who's going to catch 70 balls for, four or five TDs and 800 yards, 700 yards in that range. So you can get him really late, and he's good value for where you're going to get because he's safe.
Yeah, Daniel Thomas hasn't shown anything, and the coaching staff is completely losing faith in him. And I know a lot of people have had him ranked pretty high as a preseason sleeper darling for a rookie. Now, here's one of the key things, and I think we should mention it, is that rookie running backs almost never work out the way you expect them to.
I mean, more so than rookie wide receivers. Wide receivers tend to take 3 to 4 years before the light turns on as an average rule.
But people expect that.
Yeah.
People expect wide receivers to take 2 or 3 seasons. But so many people are still out there drafting rookie running backs fairly high because they're like, oh, this guy's going to be the bell cow. Look at Ryan Matthews last year.
Yeah, well, and there was guys who were being drafted in the first round and turning into studs immediately for a while there, but it's been a few years now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think Miami, with their running game, it's in such a state of flux. You know, you hope that Reggie Bush gets his touches. You hope that he makes the most of them if you draft him, but really, I mean, one of the big standouts about Miami is actually their defense.
Yeah, they have a strong defense, and also Carpenter had some terrific games last year. If they're an offense that moves the ball but doesn't get TDs, he might be good value. So you keep an eye. I wouldn't draft him, but I'd keep an eye out on him.
Yeah, I mean, and as long as their defense has Cam Wake, then I think that
at least he has some sacks.
Yeah, it's pretty safe to say that they're going to get some sacks, but not a team I'm excited about. But they got some consistent. You know, a lot of consistent middle to late round guys that could keep you in later on in the year.
Okay, let's move on to the last team here, the New York Jets. Very interesting offseason for these guys.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Jets, and I kind of like their coach. On the other hand, I also think that he's the team's about to explode under the weight of his bullshit, is probably the best way to put it. I think he's a... Like when I say I like him, I think he's an idiot, but he entertains me. You know what I mean? So go ahead.
I think with the Jets, they kind of throw, you look at Mark Sanchez, and I just don't think he's all that special. He's a game manager so far, and maybe they're intending to unleash him a little bit.
Well, that's what I assumed last year when they brought in all those offensive weapons, and they didn't.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are still drafting him under the impression that they're going to unleash him, even though they said they were going to do that last year and they didn't. So I think that he's still actually, even in round 14, he's still overvalued to me.
Well, that's the thing about Mark Sanchez. I think he's actually a very good player and very good potential. I see him make throws and decisions that are great, and then I see him make throws and decisions that are terrible. So I don't trust him. I don't have any trust level for him. And based on that, Santonio Holmes is somebody who's had some great moments in the NFL, but has never consistently performed and shown to be a number one wide receiver in fantasy, or theoretically even in the NFL consistently. Keller always looks like a sleeper who doesn't seem to pan out. Green is somebody who they're talking about all the touches. People aren't nearly as high on him as they were last year. You seem to be getting good value from him. Again, I don't trust him. I don't have a lot of trust for Jets as a general rule. Plexico Burrs, I wouldn't trust him to breathe oxygen. You know, like,
yeah, I just really laughing is about the only thing that I have to say about Plexico Burrs. If he gives you some good games, then that's really, at the end of the day, I think that's all you could ever ask for, because I just think he's old and worn out.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Green is interesting. I mean,
because he looks on, like, based on his draft position.
Yeah, well, and also based on the concept that they say they're going to run him.
I just don't trust him to stay healthy. So the guy that kind of is a sleeper for me that you might get late is not LT, but Joe McKnight, and he's somebody I would look at late as a sleeper who might emerge later in the season, kind of like Sean Green did a couple years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and a really nice potential next year keeper as well, because if Sean Green, because as we've seen, when people run the hell out of their running backs, even if they stay healthy for 1 year, the next year they have a real tendency to have.
Well, there's I can't remember the actual statistic, but there is a rule about if a running back has 300 touches in a season, about how quickly his production falls off within 2 years, and it's a frightening statistic. So I don't remember the exact details, but it is out there.
Yeah.
Let's move on to now we've done AFC East. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I think with the defense, obviously.
I mean, I can't ignore the defense.
Yeah, I think you have to talk about that. But I think the one problem that I have with the Jets defense is I think that people tend to overvalue them because they're a great real life defense, but I'm not sure that they're a fantastic fantasy defense.
Yeah, they're a very solid defense, but the thing is, people will draft them as the first defense off the board. Well, anytime the first defense off the board is always overvalued because it's a defense.
Yeah.
And you can play matchups on defenses. You know, we are looking at a defense ourselves this year, and I'm not actually going to say it. I'm going to keep it right now. I'm going to hold you guys in suspense till we get to that team. But we're looking at a defense right now that it's like, man, his first 5 weeks, the schedule is brilliant. They're not a fantasy stud or real-life stud, theoretically, to a lot of people. But their schedule is so sweet that we know we're going to get probably as good a performance as people will get from the Jets, and we're going to draft them in the last round.
Yeah.
And that's it. You can play those matchups. So.
And their kicker is not worth even talking about.
No. So let's move on to the NFC East now that we've done the AFC East, and as we continue around the loop here.
All right. Let's start off with Dallas here.
They're an interesting team for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of talent, you know, because they seem to be constantly in that, you know, let's go for broke and try to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously that brings up the biggest question as to whether or not they can do that, Tony Romo.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Romo in regular season and fantasy is fantastic. I mean, I don't know about otherwise, but he's terrific there. I mean, his season last year, if he had stayed healthy, prorated over the full season, was just remarkable. And Dez Bryant is a magnificent talent. He's actually more talented than Miles Austin, and Miles Austin's a great player too. You know, he might actually be ahead as far as real world ability at the moment, if not talent. And then, Jason Witten's a stud at his position.
Yeah.
You're talking about every team, the skill position and the passing game is great. There's question in the running game. That's where the issue lies right now. But even then, Felix Jones looked good. I don't trust him to stay healthy.
No, and after that, it's a really big mishmash. I mean, you can say a depth chart has Tashard Choice, DeMarco Murray, Lanya, and Miller, and nobody has any clue who's actually going to be backing him up. I mean, I always liked
Choice as a player, but he's never shown it. I liked him coming out of college, but he's never shown in the NFL that ability at that level. So
I mean, I really like Miles Austin. I think he's a really talented player, and I think he's really good after the catch.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, good fan. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Dez Bryant, with all his talent, does manage to eat into Miles Austin's targets this
year. And I'll say even their wide receiver three, Ogletree, and these type of things, I think they have talent there too. I mean, I think they have a lot of depth in their talent position. So you can look at those players, and when you look at their average draft positions, they're not overvalued. I wouldn't say they're undervalued. They're certainly not overvalued.
No,
they're being drafted about where they should be. So just keep that in mind if that's a player you want. look at their average draft position in the leagues you're in and get an idea of where it is you should be drafting them.
Their defense is interesting because
They're a better fantasy defense than real defense.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting this year because I love Rob Ryan. I love him as a coordinator.
He's the guy I would love as a head coach. Yeah. He's the Ryan I think is a long-term better head coach, to be honest with you. I really like him.
And I just think that you know, their defense stands a real chance, based on his past success, of showing up for games and giving you some good value. Their kicking situation, on the other hand, is a complete disaster area. David Beeler has been horrible. They've got Shane Graham. They just signed Dave Rayner, who had some success with Detroit last year. If I had to put money on it, I'd put money on Dave Rayner.
Yeah, whoever emerges there, if he's consistent, should be great because it should be such a high-powered offense.
Yeah.
I mean, in real life, I look at them and I think 8 to 10 wins. But in fantasy, I think they can help you win a championship.
Yeah, those guys, if picked at the right place, can do nothing but good things for you.
Yeah, that's right. Here's another team. I mean, there's certainly lots of talent in the NFC East. Here's another team, yeah. The New York Giants. there's talent there coming out the wazoo.
Yes. Yeah, and again, you know, if we start with Eli Manning, I think he's really struggled this preseason, which I know has brought a lot of people, you know, to that point where it's just like, do you dare draft him you certainly don't draft him as a QB1. Is he a high upside QB2? I don't know. I mean, he's shown that before.
For me, I mean, I look at him, I always think of him as a QB1. I still think of him as a QB1, a low end QB1. Because if you look at his statistics year in, year out, for you go back 4 or 5 years, they're bloody consistent. And you look at the statistics of a Matt Ryan or someone like that who gets drafted much higher, and they're really on par, you know. So I think that he's really good value where you get him at. He's not going to win you a championship. But at that point, you're going to probably score enough points from your quarterback position that if you're stronger everywhere else on your roster, you can make it up and win. I think he's fine. Now, he's not his brother, but I think he's fine. And he has talent around him again.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a problem with Eli Manning because I think that
he's ugly?
Yeah, that too.
Well, he is.
Yeah, but so are you, so what does that matter?
Yeah, well, so is Peyton.
Yeah. Oh, man, is he ever.
and he gets women.
Yes.
Go ahead. We digress, folks, but we're going to get back into football right now.
But I think the thing about Eli is that we've drafted him as that QB1 before.
Yeah.
And
we've never drafted him high.
No, we've never drafted him high. But the problem is that those teams that we've generally drafted him as QB1 have actually never done very well on a consistent basis. And maybe that's because the other guys that we're getting haven't turned out. But I think the number one thing is about Eli is that he's on a game-to-game basis. Since you don't know what you're going to get from him, we're either going to get like this amazing quarterback, or you're going to get 4 picks.
Well, I mean, it does happen that he has some swings, but I really think he's generally more consistent. I know in personal leagues, my own leagues, I have one with him. So
yes.
But yeah, around him, I mean, again, Hakeem Nicks, talented. Manningham, talented.
Yep.
You want both these guys again at the draft position they're generally coming at?
Well, I mean, Hakeem Nicks is going as a top 5 wide receiver right now.
That might be a little high.
I think it's a bit of a stretch, but he is a talent.
I think it's a stretch based on his health. Being a question mark, not based on his talent. You know, again, the running game, solid, you know, consistent. They're just defense solid. You don't really want Tynes as your kicker, but again, it's somebody you could play. There's nothing really sexy about the New York Giants other than Eli. Anyways, but you know what?
You may say that, you know, and that's fine. I think when I look at the running game, I think Ahmad Bradshaw is a little overvalued this year. I think that Brandon Jacobs...
Well, he had great stats last year, yeah. But it might have been a career year.
Yeah, I think that Brandon Jacobs has been a little undervalued, but you never know with injuries with either of them. I mean, we could be down to DJ Ware or Andre Brown by the time the season's ready. Their defense,
one of the nice things, though, is if there's an injury, the other guy becomes so much more valuable. Though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
yeah.
Their defense has a ton of sack artists, but a terrible secondary.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where your fantasy expectations almost have to be tempered. Like, are the sacks worth the fact that they could get thrown on for 300 yards every game?
I wouldn't count on them every week, but if they have the right matchup and then the waiver wire, they're one of the first teams I'm jumping on.
Yeah, absolutely. And then like you say about their kicker, he's consistent, he's fine, but he's nothing special.
Yeah, no. Okay. Let's move on to quickly hit back over to the AFC. What are we doing here? AFC North.
East. Oh no, we're still
We're not done?
No.
What? We got to talk about these guys?
These guys.
The Dream Team.
The Dream Team, that's right. What is this, basketball?
Yeah.
I mean the Philadelphia Eagles have a ton of potential fantasy studs, really.
Okay, let's go through quickly. Michael Vick has had a poor preseason. Who gives a shit? He's going to be awesome.
Yeah, he's Michael Vick. The only thing that you're ever worried about with Vick is when he's going to get injured.
Yeah, 2 to 5 games. I always look at Vick. 2 to 5 games. He's going to miss that year, so I have to draft another quarterback higher, or I need to get his backup, and that's still up in the air.
Yeah. You don't know if that's Mike Kafka, who's looked really good, or Vince Young, who's looked like poo, but has such an amazingly huge talent upgrade over almost everybody as a backup quarterback.
Yeah. Well, he's more talented than many of the starters out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Tavarius Jackson. But let's again, DeSean Jackson, home run hitter.
Great home run hitter.
Inconsistent, and you might get 40 yards, and then the next game you might get 160 yards and 2 TDs. So keep that in mind. But at the end of the season, he's worth having. He'll give you more upside, more explosive wins than losses. So it's a good
Well, Jeremy Maclin, actually, I believe, led the team in receiving last year.
He led them catches and stuff. Yeah, I mean, and I think Avant is also a nice guy. And Steve Smith, if he ever recovers and gets healthy, is proven to be a 100-yard catch guy. I mean, it's a talented, deep receiving crew. Selleck is a guy who you can maybe pick up as an upside sleeper really, really late in the last second-to-last round, third-to-last round in that range, because he did show some potential a couple years ago.
He's a real shame because he showed so much potential that 2 seasons ago, and everybody thought that he was just going to be absolutely amazing. And then Michael Vick took over as quarterback, and he's really kind of, tapered.
They haven't had the chemistry, which is really strange, because if you look at Vick back when he had an algae crumpler and that type of thing, he really found his tight ends a lot, which is why I do think that he might get worked into the offense a little bit more this year. LeSean McCoy is not Brian Westwood.
Westbrook.
Yeah, he's not Brian Westbrook. Anybody who thinks he is being foolish. And there was some people who thought he would be. But he has a similar style of player. While he's not quite – he's probably 80% of what Westbrook was.
Yeah,
and that's still pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, I don't view him as a top 5 player. But I view him as a top 12 pick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ronnie Brown, I don't trust behind him, but
he's a nice play
late.
Late. Very, very. Actually, I'm not even sure I'd draft
him. Absolutely want this defense as a top 5 defense if you're valuing. If you do value defenses, again, I don't chase a defense, but if you do get them, they're one of the few defenses where I'm not paying matchups now.
No, I only have a couple of questions. I have questions about their linebacking core. And I do have questions about their new defensive coordinator.
Well, maybe, but I trust their head coach.
Yes, and they're not going to play as much of that blitz style that they have in years past, which could rein in their value a bit, but they're going to be so hard to throw on that they're going to be a good defense.
I think they'll be a very good defense. They may not be the team that gives you a lot of sacks and that type of thing, but what they probably are is that team that keeps teams to under 300 yards and under 20 points consistently, and that's worth points in fantasy as well. Yeah. So, the kicking game, if Henry turns out to actually be as good a kicker as they hope, he'll be awesome, but I'm not drafting him yet, and maybe you can pick him up as a sleeper, but it's a kicker.
I think somebody's bound to draft him based on the success that Akers had, but he certainly has the pedigree to do it. He sounds like he's one of the best kickers to come out of college in a long time. But the fact of the matter is that I think at this point you can do better with more proven guys.
Yeah. Okay, that's now NFC North, or wait, no, there's the other dream team.
Yes,
the other dream team.
The nightmare team.
The nightmare. The we can't sleep team.
Yeah.
Because we live in Washington and we're fans of this pile of poo.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm sorry, folks, but this team is not looking good.
No, they got so very little going for them that it's not even funny. I mean, you got a quarterback situation which inspires nobody between John Beck and Rex Grossman. I mean, both have looked almost exactly the same.
They both look decent, is the scary thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're obviously running a West Coast offense, which, you know, I think suits both of their skills well. But, you know, I mean, I don't even trust their head coach anymore as a thing.
No, and I used to think that he was, you know, I mean, even though he had his Shanahanigans, you know.
Yeah.
But you still had, and you've always got the running back question. Like, they've kind of anointed Tim Hightower as
the... He's looked great.
And he has looked really good. He's a top-notch sleeper.
Good receiver. Can he stay healthy and do it for a whole season? He's not a big dude.
No, and can he stop fumbling? That's another big question. But, you know, and then you got Roy Helu, who sounds, from the sounds of things, is a total boom or bust runner. Like, he's a real guy who's going to get you 60 yards in, you know, one play, and then negative 20.
What Chris Brown used to be for the Titans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you look at their wide receiving core, and we're done talking about them.
Yeah, I mean... Santana Moss is the only guy draftable there, and
even then you get him really late.
Yeah, because the fact
he's been around. How old is he now?
He's pretty old.
Yeah,
and I think he's 32. I could be wrong, but the fact is
that when you're older,
but when you look at that at the two guys throwing to him, I just can't trust him for consistent games. You know, I used to say that Chris Cooley was like my favorite tight end pick because he was always that guy who was going to get the consistent 700-800 yards, and he was always going to be there when I was ready to draft a tight end. But I can't say that anymore. I mean, Fred Davis is starting to outplay him, or because Chris Cooley's being injured, and I can't trust him with those pieces of crap throwing to him.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, what does it say about Dante Stallworth at this point that he can't get higher in that depth chart?
Yeah, that's frightening. I mean, he's listed behind Anthony Armstrong, who had a pretty good year last year. And Jabbar Gaffney, I mean, is starting opposite. I mean,
that shows your definition
of not special.
Exactly. But I'm going to say this about Fred Davis is you don't draft him because you don't know when he's going to get and how much he's going to do early. On the other hand, there's at some point probably going to be a mad scramble to get him when Cooley does get hurt again.
Yeah.
Which he's saying he's going to be playing in week one. We'll see. I mean, Cooley's awesome, but I'm not touching them. I'm not touching either one of them. So.
No, and their defense, I mean, it's got some talent, so maybe it could be used as a matchup. But they haven't played particularly well, and I don't really trust them.
When you never consistently believe that the offense is going to be on the field very long. You know, it's tough to trust the defense as well. So.
And their kicker is amongst the worst in the leagues. So, you know, there's really nothing to say about that. Don't draft him. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, we wish you all the luck in Washington. Five games winning maybe this year.
Wow, five? That's pretty high.
Maybe. Thinking,
yeah, I mean, I guess I tend to go a little lower with three because, I mean, you got to think Dallas Cowboys twice, New York Giants twice, Philadelphia Eagles twice.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just one of those things where teams like – seems like Washington never seem to fall below five but never seem to get – lately above 8.
Yeah, so. That's very true.
Okay, so you know what? I wish we did have time to go on to the next part, but really, truthfully, that's, about a 45-minute show now?
Looks like it.
Yeah, I think we should probably just cut this down here today, and keep in mind, folks, that we're currently on We Talk Comics on Podomatic, but you can also find us pretty soon and relaunch Better, Bigger, Badder, Boomier, Bustier, Battier, Big waterier.
Definitely battier.
Anyways, there'll be a new website coming, and it's going to be great for We Talk podcasts, and you'll be able to find us there soon. And
that's right.
Other than that, are we OUT? Are we going to bump or bounce or whatever the hell we're going
to
do?
Well, I'll tell you what. The only thing that I ever have to say is we'll see you and we'll beat you.